Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Petey Martin, those of you listening across the Caribbean, wherever you are. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. This is Inside Finance. It's a joy and a pleasure to be with you once again. There's a whole lot happening in Grenada, and as you know, there are many persons I talk to here on Inside Finance. And Garfin is no stranger to us here. They've been here about twice on the program, and it's good to have them once again. And with me today, I'll be having the Executive Director, Mr. Angus Smith, he will be talking to us, and Mr. Dennis Felix, who is the manager of the bank credit and money services, supervision services. We'll be talking about what's happening within Garfin. They're celebrating 10 years, really. They'll tell us more about that, what have they achieved, and how they have made Grenada safer, that we have not lost any more money. We'll hear about that and what I have to say. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back and be talking to the folks in Garfin about what's happening there.
Registration amnesty. Don't you ignore. Be secure. Registration amnesty. January to March. No penalty.
Information, contact us on 435-1905 or email us at gndird@ird.gd.
Welcome back, folks. Good to have you with us today. And we're talking to Garfin, Mr. Dennis Felix, and Mr. Angus Smith. Good day to you, gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Finance.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and it's a pleasure for us to be here today.
Thank you for having us on the program.
Dennis, you have been in this thing a long time. I know you since when you're in the government.
Yes, I worked with the cooperative department many years ago, and I served as registrar of cooperatives, and you yourself, we worked closely together while you were president of the Grenada Cooperative League as well.
In the trenches, 21 credit unions, now it's down to 10,
yeah.
To 10, so we have done a lot. Ms. Angus, how are you doing?
I'm okay, I'm doing fine.
Working hard and keeping all of us in line?
Trying to do my best.
What really is Garfin, for those who do not know? What is Garfin for, what it is about?
Garfin is a statutory body which was created in February 2007. Mm. The legislation was actually passed in 2006, but it became effective on the 1st of February 2007, and we started functioning around the middle of March 2007. As I said, Garfin is a statutory body which basically consolidated supervision of the non-bank financial sector in Grenada.
Mm.
You have the commercial banks, which is done by the central bank, and Garfin did everything else. Primarily, it consisted of insurance companies, credit unions, money service businesses, the offshore sector, and some other institutions like the Grenada Development Bank, the Building Societies Act, the Friendly Societies Act, micro-lending. Prior to 2007, you had a different regulator for each institution. You had, as Dennis has said, the registrar of cooperatives doing credit unions and cooperatives. You had the supervisor of insurance, which was the PS Finance, doing, and one office in the Ministry of Finance doing insurance companies. You had the old GIFSA, Grenada International Financial Services Authority. They did the offshore sector. You had nobody doing money service businesses. And the others fell under, I think, the Supreme Court or the registrar of the court, right? So you had what I call a plethora of regulators in Grenada.
Mm-hmm.
So the Garfin Act consolidated them all under one new statutory body, which is Garfin.
Mm-hmm.
It was 12 pieces of legislation we took over responsibility for.
Because you're celebrating 10 years.
Yeah, so we got off the ground in March 2007.
Mm.
We're in March 2017 now, so it's just about 10 years.
Mm. Coming of age?
Coming of age, yes. Yeah.
Now, what are some of the benefits created by the formation of Garfin, and how does Garfin actually carry out the job of supervising the non-bank financial sector? Because that's quite a challenge, quite a number of institutions in that area.
Okay, well, Mr. Smith spoke about the fragmentation of regulation before GAFIN came on stream. So quite obviously, one of the end result was to create one regulatory body to regulate all of the non-bank financial sector. And that's how GAFIN actually came on stream. So as a result, you had better you had better efficiency, effectiveness in regulation, cost effectiveness as well. And GAFIN was actually meant to improve on what existed before. Now, in terms of how GAFIN carried out its work, GAFIN's work really, you can look at it in three components. Firstly, the area of off-site monitoring and supervision. That is where institutions, financial institutions, report periodically to GAFIN. In some instances, like credit unions, they report on a monthly basis. Insurance companies, they report on a quarterly basis. So GAFIN receives those reports, and GAFIN evaluates the information that we receive, and we look at trends, we look at weaknesses, we look at risk coming out from those information, we look at impact, and as a result of those, if we identify where we identify weaknesses, it helps us to plan how we're going to more effectively supervise the institution. So as a result of those results, we then do what we call on-site inspections. That is where a team of inspectors from GAFIN would go into an institution, credit union, insurance company, as the case may be, and we look at all aspects of the operations to get a first-hand knowledge of how they actually do business and give us a better opportunity to evaluate the information that we have received previously. Mm. The third component has to do with supervisory action, and I think this is an important component. When I speak of supervisory action, one might think, well, GAFIN to the access or the legislation says that to do this, and GAFIN might readily say, do that. But sometimes, and in most cases, GAFIN adopt what I refer to as a softer approach. That is enlightenment and a consultative approach. Meaning that if we go into an institution and we identify an area of weakness, the first thing we will do is draw it to the attention of the institution. We would have a meeting with the board and management where we would discuss those issues. We would inform them or draw to their attention the area of weakness, the risk, the impact it is having, and then when we get them to understand in a comprehensive way the issue involved with the credit union, we then say to them, we'll come up with a set of strategies to deal with those problems. And what we find is that we get a very high level of cooperation when we follow that approach. Mm-hmm.
Just to add, some of the benefits of GAFIN, the creation of GAFIN, I think is economies of scale. Well, Dennis mentioned that, right? Previously, you had several different regulators, as we said. Most of them poorly staffed, poorly funded, lack of resources, lack of capacity, operating at different standards, each regulator doing their own thing. By creating one single regulatory unit, you can hire better train staff better, and have consistency in the level of supervision, which I think is one of the things we brought to the table. Consistency in the level of supervision.
Now, when you look at GAFIN in the past 10 years, what are some of the challenges which you faced, and how did you deal with those challenges you were confronted with in the past 10 years?
Well, since we took over, several regulators, there were quite a few challenges in the beginning, right? And that was to be expected. I think one of the things we concentrated on initially was relationship building. People who are accustomed to operating on their own, maybe some sort of supervision, yes, but doing a lot of things that maybe should not have been done or not complying. So getting the respect of the institutions we supervise and getting that good relationship with them was important. They were hesitant at first as to wondering, what is GAFIN coming with? Who are we? What are we doing? Do we know what we're doing? Right? Do they have to follow us? I got questions like, what's the authority for asking for this, right? So it was getting the confidence and support of the institutions, and I think we succeeded with that, over the years. Developing a culture of compliance was important too. Again, you found institutions that didn't even know or had not read their legislation for a long time, didn't know what legislation they were under, not keeping up to date. So we had to develop a culture of compliance, because we started in the early days saying compliance, follow the law. So getting people to know their law, and I think we've succeeded a lot to a large extent there too. We've had challenges, administrative challenges, but we've had challenges like CLECO and British America and the collapse, which is still troubling us in the region. It then affected the Building and Loan Association, so challenges like that. We did have slight challenges administratively with finance for a while, but we got over that with the new insurance levy.
I think I also want to point out that while we had to ensure that there was increased regulation and supervision, at the same time, we had to try and avoid the regulation being seen as being burdensome, right? So we had to strike a balance between what we do and how it is received and accepted by the credit union. And I think once we develop that level of trust, dealing with the regulated entities, I think we had an increased level of cooperation.
Now, but maybe to you, Mr. Felix, GAFIN supervises the non-bank financial sector. Has this sector been growing, and particularly the credit unions and insurance companies? How does this growth impact GAFIN's work and what we call the country's economy?
Okay, well, I can speak specifically to credit unions, and I suppose Mr. Smith can address what's happening in the insurance sector. But credit unions, as you know, we have 10 functional credit unions now. When GAFIN actually started 10 years ago, the total assets in the sector was around $240 million.
With 17 credit unions.
With about 17. Today we have 10 credit unions, and the assets has grown significantly to over $670 million. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of growth there. It is important to know that it's not just growth. We had more balanced growth in the sector, meaning that whereas assets have grown significantly, we also had to ensure that all of the institutions did not lose their way with the growth. Mm-hmm. So they were able to back that up with sufficient capital as well. So that's what I mean by balanced growth. In terms of the challenge, really, how has it impacted on GAFIN? For one thing, when you have all this growth, big, now you're talking about big financial institutions, GAFIN itself has to raise its game, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to prepare ourselves well. We have to train ourselves. We have to develop ourselves. We have to keep abreast of what's happening in the movement. The financial sector is really fluid. Standards and so on are changing all the time. So we have to ensure that we are fully aware of what's happening. We have to ensure that we put best practices, prudential standards, legislation, all of those areas that would impact on the operations of credit union. We have to ensure that that they are modernized and they create an environment for the credit unions to continue to grow and develop.
Mm. When you have small organizations, they're less complex. Right, as the institutions get bigger and bigger, they become more sophisticated, and the regulator has to keep up the standards as well. Right, we have got to keep up with modern best practices. We've got to ensure that legislation remains current. We've got to train our staff to ensure that we can keep up to date. Right, in terms of the insurance companies, I don't have the opening figure, but the total assets of insurance companies now is about $650 million.
Just around the amount as a credit union.
No, sorry, that's a wrong figure. I think it's 350.
So half the amount.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Unions. Okay.
Well, we would have lost British American, but actually that doesn't include CLECO figures, which I don't have figures for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in total, we supervise now, we estimate about $1.2 billion in assets.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions, insurance companies, pension funds, and the other smaller institutions, that's $1.2 billion. No, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, credit unions didn't have credit cards and debit cards and ATM cards and all of that.
Which has changed, yes.
Right, so in 10 years, the institutions have developed significantly. We have got to keep up to date as well.
Okay. Quick question. Do you supervise also NIS?
No, we don't.
Who supervises NIS?
There's no regulator.
For NIS?
For NIS.
So how come all they could supervise us to have a little bit of money and NIS full of money, all they're not supervising? Is government beyond the law?
Well, social security schemes are not supervised by like central banks or so worldwide.
But
I think I'm not speaking on their behalf, but I think they I know they do get actuarial assessments every 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
We're supposed to keep them in line.
Well, Mr. Garfin, I'm sure other people are asking the same question.
We get asked that question all the time.
Okay. Now, what would you say are some of the successes of Garfin in the past 10 years?
I think the overall sector has developed a lot, largely, well, in part due to our supervision. As I said, getting the relationship going, building a good relationship, I think was definitely a success. And that has helped. I have said before, we're both in the same boat. Because the institutions want to see a strong, vibrant sector, and so do we. Mm-hmm. Right? And we've been able to develop that close working relationship there, right? One of the most important areas I think we've had successes in is improving the level of corporate governance in all the sectors. Boards of directors are now much more familiar with their responsibilities. There's a lot more planning. There's a lot more organization. There's better performance. There's significant improvement in corporate governance. I mean, it's not perfect, but that has improved significantly. The question of reporting to Garfin, reporting just for their own internal organizations themselves, right? We get monthly reports from every single credit union. We get quarterly reports from every single insurance company and the other institutions. Apart from the credit unions, that didn't used to happen before. Many insurance companies resisted when we first started with the quarterly reporting. Everybody complies 100% now, right?
That's good. We get
100% audits from everybody. That didn't used to happen before, right? So reporting has developed a lot significantly to the benefit of the institutions themselves as well, right? A big area we've started from ground zero is pensions. Pensions were not supervised 10 years ago when we started. It was put in the new Insurance Act, and we took it up, and now we pretty well advanced with it. We have registered over 40 pension plans. We still have a few working on. The pension assets in Grenada, I think, is between 150 to 200 million. We get audited financial statements. We get actuarial assessments. We've conducted training for trustees and pension administrators and intermediaries, so they're more familiar with their work. So those are some of our successes.
I think within Garfin, there's also an area of success.
Mm-hmm.
Garfin started new as a new entity, and celebrating 10 years in itself is an achievement. But I think more importantly, Garfin has been able to develop its staff and retain its staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that allowed for consistency,
right,
in doing, carrying out our work.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at Garfin, Grenada has a lot of problem in the past, and going back 10 years since you started, with the financial institutions, we had Cap Bank, SGL Holdings, and, you know, Clayco and Bico, offshore banks, and a lot of money have been lost in a lot of ways. With Garfin around in the past 10 years, is the system safer or safe, or are we still hanging in the breeze, waving a tattered flag and looking for help still? What's going on?
I would definitely say we are safer.
Mm-hmm.
But we are safer, but we are not 100% safe. And we will never be 100% safe.
You speak as a regulator.
Well, I don't think any regulatory authority, any central bank, the central bank will never say that we are 100% safe, right? We got to keep plugging away and doing our work and keeping up to date with standards and pressing and being intrusive and all of the things that we do, right? We got to keep up to date because situations change. Boards of directors change. We don't run the institutions ourselves. So a new board of directors can come in tomorrow and do something weird and wrong and bad, and we discover it when we get a quarterly report or when we get the annual report in a year's time, and it's too late, right? So we are definitely a lot safer. We are not 100% safe, and I don't think we'll ever be. No regulator will ever say that, because we don't run the institutions themselves. But we have been able to maintain stability, as you know, in the credit union sector. We've streamlined it a lot. We've had over the years to appoint judicial managers for Clico, British American Building and Loan. We've had to appoint administrative supervisors for some credit unions, which if we weren't there, you know, you wonder what would have happened.
No, I must agree. I mean, being part, Mr. Felix, you know, being when we were early years with no regulators and happening, and you had to fight with everything else, I must say that the credit union is much safer and better with Garfin being around. So it has been a plus. I'm sure the other financial institution may have had trouble at first, saying, look, we agree to this, but they realized it is important to have you around. Mm-hmm. And that in itself have put the financial sector in Grenada on a much steadier and safer footing. The financial system in our region, our CARICOM and ECCU, is very interconnected. Within the OECS, we have the OECS dollar, for which we use, and many persons who travel and businesses go across the OECS. What is the situation with the financial sector, the regulation in the rest of the region? And has it been developing as Grenada? Because I'm thinking, as I travel across the region, even deal with a number of things, you hear about we are ahead, we are leading in areas when it comes to this, even with GAFIN. Do regulators across the region interface with each other, and how are they reaching out to you, or you reaching out to them in helping each other to develop?
Well, as you know, we have one economic union in the OECS, right? The Eastern Caribbean Currency Union, as we call it. We move in towards one economic space.
Mm.
And the regulators in the region do coordinate a lot, significantly over the last 10 years. We have several regional institutions that we work closely with that are very active. We have the Caribbean Association of Insurance Regulators, that is CARE. And these are institutions cover all of the CARICOM countries. There's 20 countries. CARE, Caribbean Association of Insurance Regulators. We have the Caribbean Association of Pension Supervisors. Again, the 20 countries, all the pension supervisors. We have the Caribbean Association of Credit Union Supervisors, of which Grenada is now, GAFIN is now the secretariat. You have other institutions, like the Caribbean Association of Bankers. You have the Caribbean Group of Securities Regulators, the Caribbean Group of Offshore Bankers. All of these institutions meet regularly, discuss things, and work together. In insurance, we have what we call colleges of regulators. One of the problems with CLECO and BICO is that because these institutions operated in several islands, the regulators didn't necessarily know what was going on in each island. That doesn't happen now. We have a college of regulators where we meet, all of the regulators, say, of Company X meets, and we discuss their operations cross-border.
Okay, so pretty much know what's happening.
We do, yeah, and we coordinate a lot. I mean, we meet 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year, teleconferences, or face-to-face. We have hosted CAPS, CARE, and CACS meetings in Grenada in the last 10 years. We've hosted all of these groups. We've had other meetings. We've had meetings of regulators. In the last 2 weeks, I have had 2 teleconferences with regional regulators on different issues through the central banks. So the regulators do coordinate a lot. One of the challenges and problems in the early days was cross-border coordination.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That has improved significantly. I can pick up the phone now, and Mr. Felix can pick up the phone and call any regulator in any island and get any information we need. So we do coordinate a lot.
I think also that in the practice of how we carry out our work, I think there are a lot of similarities as well, especially in the ECCU region. For one thing, we have a uniform legislation, so the Cooperative Societies Act is practically uniform across the sub-region. Our inspection practices, we actually have documented procedures for carrying out inspections and evaluations and so on, and those are also similar across the ECCU region.
Mm. The big question, I guess, for many persons who are listening, can we have another CLECO, BICO, SDL situation in Grenada where we lost? I mean, how much money Grenada lost in that?
Well, as I said, we would never say never, right? But our duty is to make it as hard as possible for these things to happen.
Mm.
And if they do happen, things are put in place, you know, to mitigate the losses, right? Things like monitoring, and that is why we don't want to be surprised by something happening. We should be seeing something developing long in advance and be able to take action. But no regulator would ever say never. And there are things like the insurance funds, which was created for insurance companies, where assets are put aside and pledged to back their insurance liabilities. You monitor solvency and capital adequacy and liquidity and delinquency, and if they report properly and we monitor it, we should be able to see things happening long in advance and take action. But we would never say never, because as I say, we don't run the institutions. a board of directors can do something crazy one day and...
The safe word of the regulator. Never say never.
I think also, Pastor Simon, the fact that Mr. Smith has hammered the point, right, that we would not be taken by surprise. I think that's important. But also, I think, just in case you do have an institution that feels, the impact, I think, would not be as significant as we had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because the insurance companies know, when you speak of solvency, the funds are being maintained to cover the liabilities. The credit unions are required to maintain a better level of capital and so on. So all of those are better able, the institutions are better able to cushion whatever effect and impact you will likely have on the people.
We monitor the ratios carefully, closely, every month, every quarter, and we follow up with the company. So,
to make it happen.
So to try to avoid anything happening, yeah, or to see it long in advance and take action when it. And we have taken action over the years, as I've said.
Okay. All right, almost out of time, but as a regulator, there must be things, it can't be all good and dandy. I mean, there will have things happening, and as you supervise and do things, I'm sure there are areas of concerns to you. Is there anything you'd like to raise to us or share with us, some of the concern that you may have that maybe worry you a bit or have you keep you up at night? I'm not sure. I mean, it may not be big to keep you up at night, but at least.
Well, again, there's always things to be done. We are still developing ourselves. There are always issues to be dealt with. Even though I said corporate governance had improved significantly, I think that's an area that I personally am probably still a little bit concerned about because, as I say, boards of directors change, and boards do things, maybe not thinking, maybe not aware, maybe still not understanding fully their roles and responsibilities, and something can happen that can bring down an institution. So we have got to keep plugging away at governance. Planning, we talk a lot about planning work, strategic plans and work plans, and particularly for the credit union's budgets, to monitor carefully and so right, delinquency control. So governance is an area that, you know, I'm still, we will keep plugging away at that constantly.
Mr. Felix?
Well, we still have, the fact that we still have weaknesses in institutions, right? Loan delinquency, for example. Whereas it may not be as bad as it is in certain areas, but loan delinquency is an area of concern. Institutional capital is also another area of concern. The growth that we spoke about that the sector, credit union sector has been experiencing, that area also has its own challenges. Mm-hmm. When you have excess funds, for example, or do you invest it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think those things do create challenges for us, but it also helps to keep us vigilant.
Quickly, 30 seconds. Where does Garfin go from here? What's the future?
Well, Garfin is probably at a crossroads because in the region, in the OECS region, we have been talking for last year or 2 years now about creating a single regulatory unit authority for the OECS.
Like which then makes sense.
Huh?
Which makes sense.
Yes, yeah. Like what we have one central bank, the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. We're talking about the Eastern Caribbean Financial Services Commission, which initially would start by supervising all insurance companies in the OECS region. Later on, it would pick up credit unions and the rest of the non-bank financial sector. That requires specific legislation, and most importantly, it requires a Uniform Insurance Act, which is being worked on. There's a committee has been established with a full-time officer a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully, I would say by the middle of next year, we should be seeing some development there towards a single OECS insurance regulator.
Okay, right then, you and Mr. Dennis Felix may move out of Grenada and go and work in one of the other islands.
Well, we don't know where that head office would be. I mean, ultimately, that body, like how the central bank is based in St. Kitts, that's going to be based somewhere.
Well, I'm sure you want it based in Grenada.
Well, we hope so.
I hope so. All right, folks, we're out of time. And special thanks to Mr. Angus Smith, who is the executive director of Garfin. And Mr. Dennis Felix, the manager of non-banked credit, money services, and supervision services, as they have shared with us what's happening in Garfin. Celebrating 10 years, they have done a lot. They have kept us safe, and we wish they were there
before Cap Bank and, you know, BICO and CLECO and all of those folks. But thank God they're here, and we are grateful for it. I wish them well. You can go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded there. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. Thank you for being here. And another program of Inside Finance, telling you what's happening within the government of Grenada and what's happening within the Ministry of Finance itself. Take care of yourself. Join me here next week at the same time. We do this all over again right here on this station. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.